If you come back next year, if you come back,
I know that one is going somewhere, so I'm not thinking about it.
If you come to deploy Elsa.
When I'm sitting there with you, I will insist to the new shepherd that if I'm not careful, that you hold that idea. I'm trying to secure it, really. Because what I want to introduce is that when we'll have sometimes this point, each and every one of you, when there are documents that we need, they will be loaded on that disk. If we don't need those documents in there, both of us need those documents. In all the meetings, you bring your gift. Those beautiful machines that the Parliament has given you, because you don't even use those laptops. I think your children are using them.
Your party is correct.
Well, if you say that you don't know how to use it, then how will you use it?
I
mean,
I use it, but they also use it.
No, I'm talking from experience. I don't own that laptop anymore. In the house, there's no queue of people who think that they are expected.
There's nothing.
Okay, I need to apologize for that delay. There were practical matters in the morning. So we made a special request to our advisors to be approved by the presiding officers and the chieftains of the majority party for us to speak today. You will know why we wanted to speak today on the November. Earlier on, you requested that we visit the Masku, both in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. But due to the depletion of our funds, So because of lack of funds, we could not proceed. Therefore, we had the math school. Because members have told me that when they go to conference editions, they might be asked certain problems about the program, especially in KwaZulu-Natal and the UK. Therefore, we said, let us send it by our colleagues from IDT to just give us a glimpse of what is happening so that they can also report future progress, because that's what they're interested in. I hope that brings this to they need information that can assist them to let's say if the school that's going to be built in that area will be able to say no, the IDT is still in the coming. We actually wanted to take you along with us to the bridge, but we can't because we don't have money. So I think the business will still take place, but it will not take place during the work test, given the fact that you did a very short test. Parliament will look at the legislation without anything. So we will do it when we come back. I think that's the most feasible time for us to continue. So I don't know, but we do have new members, so one new member, which we need to welcome, Honorable Member, Honorable Nyebe. May you please greet members of Parliament?
You must press the gadget
in front of you. There won't be translation in this meeting, so I'm going to advise you to use English. Otherwise, I will have to translate everything in French. I don't mind because it's speaking
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kenneth Mandla Nyembe from Gauteng Province, around Pretoria. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Umkhele Makila enze le center public. I'm going to deliver my political scientist. I'm employed by PMG and I'm a proud South African.
Tomorrow.
So,
honorable member, honorable chairperson of the portfolio committee. It is once more our pleasure to come and make this presentation to yourself. As we were introducing, I did mention that I am with Mr. Wakaba, whom he referred to himself as being responsible for the program implementation at the Independent Development Trust. I will make the introduction to this presentation, and he will give us the details of the program. Honorable members, we are going to be talking to two programs. The first program that we would want to account on is the 150 million that is funded by the IDT in as far as the eradication of mud schools and inhabitable structures. The second program would be the 2.7 billion, which is funded by Treasury, of which IDT is also participating in its implementation. We have requested to get a list of all the schools that we are currently working on, particularly the 2.7 billion, because that list was not included in our presentation. I'm of the opinion that it has been sent back from the office and we will be able to circulate that. Chairperson, the committee had indicated to us that they want to go and visit the project that we're implementing, and we do accept, Chairperson, what you have said, but I would like to upfront invite members of the committee to the launch of the Dalitoka, which is in the Eastern Cape. It's on the 29th of September. And maybe we can be able, Chairperson, to accommodate some of your challenges in as far as that is concerned, because it would really be our pleasure for you and some of the members to come and embrace that occasion. We will give you the details that relate to that launch in particular, Chairperson. Chair, the purpose of the mud school program for us was multi-pronged. Firstly, it was to rebuild some of those mud schools, particularly those that were affected by the tornadoes in the Eastern Cape. But secondly, we took cue from what the Minister of Finance referred to as the rehabilitation of the environment where our communities reside. That is the beautifying of those environments, and as well as giving life to some of the structures that we see. So we took that as one of the challenges as well that we would want to incorporate into our objectives. But thirdly, we also thought this is a program that will enable us to capture the women contractors. Why, Chairperson, the women contractors? Because as you are aware, most of the IDT projects are big. It's projects that will begin to attract level 6, 7, 8, and 9 in the CIDB register. And we thought, therefore, these are minimal and these are smaller schools that can enable us to attract more and possibly ring-fence it for that empowerment program. To remind the committee that this is in line with the strategic shifts that we're engaged in to say that we're going to be prioritizing women and in particular women contractors in the process of infrastructure development. Honorable members would realize, therefore, as we report, that we will continuously be referring to the number of women contractors that we have employed, because we've set ourselves targets, and part of our success factors would be how many women contractors we've been able to pull through the program. That also has come up with its own challenges, as we all know, that we don't necessarily have enough in our database in as far as female contractors, and therefore the pace of implementation has in one way or the other been affected. But we are still quite proud to say that despite that, we had consciously had taken the decision that we will incorporate female contractors, even though there might be some elements of capacity building which are going along. And to date, in as far as the work that we have done, we feel that we have been able to achieve that objective. Chairperson, the detail of the presentation, Mr. Wakaba, will take the committee through, and I will hand over to him.
Thank you, Mrs. Tembi. Warm greetings, Chairperson, and members of the portfolio committee. I would, without wasting time, take you to page 2 of the presentation. That page outlines in brief, I think think you can move, Popo, outlines in brief the development targets that system you alluded to, part of which is that both within the IDT funded program as well as the Treasury funded $2.7 billion program, our intention is to spend 30% of those resources on women entrepreneurs. So there is that focus. 30%. I think I'm getting you. Are you saying we could do better than that? I think we do intend to do better than that, Chair. I think part of the constraints that we're dealing with is just the sheer number of women contractors available, particularly in the, you know, respective grades. But part of what we're doing is to institute a targeted contractor development program which looks at women contractors. I think the second point there is to spend 40% of the funds on local workers and entrepreneurs, 55% on BEE. I think the program is implemented in partnership with the EPWP unit of the Department of Public Works, and therefore it incorporates the principles of EPWP. I've spoken already about instituting a focused contractor development program targeting women in particular. We also are moving ahead with Agriment South Africa in terms of exploring innovative construction methodologies. We've undertaken a research with regard to that, and part of our intention is to emerge with identified methodologies that we would spearhead the embracing by the various provinces, particularly client departments like the DOE. The following slide focuses specifically on the IDT funded program. You would note that on the table provided is an indication of the province, the schools in that province, the budget, the planned start date, and the planned first delivery date. We're presenting this because this is valuable information at the initiation of the program. These were the amounts and the number of schools that we targeted. I think in total there were about 53 schools at the beginning. You would note later within the presentation that after the detailed planning with adjustments being made on the various sizes of schools, I think part of the experience that we'll come across in this project is that certain provinces were saying over and above the challenge of classrooms, we've got challenges of inappropriate schools on the basis of size. And we're beginning to say we need comprehensive schools with, you know, additional facilities. Hence, they've been changing, you know, later in the program. The next slide indicates three states, Northwest, Western Cape, and Northern Cape, again providing the number of schools, the budget, and the timing related to those schools. Later in these presentations, we shall give details of the actual schools and their location. When it comes again to the IDT specific provided 150 million, the next slide begins to contextualize those development targets by placing figures linked to the development targets. I think the chair would be happy to note that notwithstanding the original target of 30% spent on women, that we are now fleeting with 60 million, which is substantially above the 30%. That was initially targeted or spent on women. We, you know, in outlining all the specific achievements which we want to secure out of the 150 million, most notable being the 90 million spent on BEE, as well as the jobs and the training that should happen out of the program. The next slide begins to provide detailed specifics about the program. And the number of provinces involved, 8, all provinces with the exception of Gauteng, on this specific 150 million. Of in those provinces, we're building 20 schools in total. On an additional 20 schools, we're building operation facilities, which makes the project span over 40 projects in 8 provinces. out of the contractors that have been appointed, 14 are women contractors. I think the two to make the 16 has been appointed on the broader 2.7 program. We're indicating on that slide that two schools have already been completed. The Dalisoga in the Eastern Cape, that's the school that will be launched on the 29th of this month, as well as Sibahle in Bumalanga. I think both these schools were part of the launch of the program that was undertaken last year. We're indicating on that same slide projects that are currently under implementation in all provinces virtually except the Free State and Northern Cape as well as the Western Cape, where in the Free State projects are commencing end of September and in the Western Cape end of November. Provinces where delays have been seen largely are where the client department would opt for partnerships, where they would say, we welcome the ITT contribution, but we want a bigger school, and therefore we want to add our own budget onto the presented budget to get to a bigger school. The next slide, Chair, gives context to the process which ITT follows in program managing a school delivery in a typical sense. Initiation, I think we're indicating there what we mean by that phase in the process, planning, implementation, and closeout. On later slides, you will see where these most of these schools are, but I think this gives the context. In the next slide, we actually indicate that the bulk of the projects are under implementation, with only Western Cape still under planning, and we're indicating that two have already reached a closeout report. This slide presents the current status as we speak today. The next slide presents a projected status at the end of March. It is our plan to spend all the ITT available resources of 150 million by end March, and as you can see in terms of the workflow, that all these projects are leveraged to close out by end March. We've put a note on that slide where we're indicating that close out in this instance relates to the spending or 100% spending of the ITT provided funding. What we are why we want to highlight that in certain provinces like the Western Cape and Limpopo, where client departments have joined us and said, let us put together a 25 million school, that the school may not be complete, but we shall have utilized the IDT available resources according to the original plan. The next slide provides the details of the schools and the specific progress to date in those schools on a province-by-province basis. We're starting with KZN. We're indicating that in the Amajuba, Ugu, Sisong, and Fryhead areas, these are the schools that we're building, and these are the planned date of completion for those schools. The next slide provides detailed progress in the Eastern Cape province, outlining the district, the name of schools, the percentage of work done, and the anticipated date of completion. The next slide is a continuation of the detailed progress per school, indicating in the Mpumalanga region, many of those schools in Helsbande. The percentage completion, you could see that Sibahle is part of the completed school, the launch school, and you can see the estimated completion date for others. I think we've got one school on hold as a result of geotech assessment, which are currently being looked at by the professionals. You can see in Limpopo opted for one comprehensive school. So instead of replacing inappropriate structures, they said we would want to join hands with the ITT, provide funding from our own coffers, and build one huge school, hence using one school in that. In the Northwest, you can see the number of schools in the regions, and I think as we move to the next slide outlines the challenges that we've come across I think later we will share lessons as well. I think by way of challenges, we're indicating that scope change, particularly by client departments, clients in this instance is education largely, obviously in conjunction with public works, provincial departments, has been a major issue in the speed of the process. Delays in contract finalization. We worked in tripartite agreement with DOE and DPW provincially, and sometimes to get the three parties to conclude the agreement becomes a matter that takes time. Slow response and request for input, approval and planning, repetition of planning processes, particularly as a result of changed personnel in certain provinces. I think this was particularly the case in the Eastern Cape, and then technical project challenges like the geotech surveys that sometimes produce a delay. What is more important though for us is what is it that we have learned out of this initiative. I think the next slide outlines those lessons. Need for joint proactive initiation and planning of projects. It is quite a peculiar environment that we work in. Because sometimes you find that two parties, either IDT and DPW, go well ahead in terms of planning, but the participation of DOE leaves something much to be desired. And in certain instances, you find IDT and DOE with public works not fully playing ball. So I think we're indicating that part of what we need to invest in as the IDT is investment in supporting the department in the upstream value chain function. In other words, we need to be able to avail capacities that can assist both education and the Department of Public Works in unlocking processes even before IDT takes the processes as the implementing agent. Need for improved interdepartmental relationships. I think we find this again a peculiar matter where we in a sense find ourselves locked especially in this current financial year. We're coming across a number of incidents where client departments will say we want to engage you directly without public works, which is problematic because public works has the constitutional mandate to deliver the infrastructure and any arrangement with us outside public works we've also seen in the past breeds challenges. Because also in the capacity of the client departments to drive infrastructure becomes an issue and then it creates problems at the end of the day. Need for service delivery accountability by clients. Sometimes we have a sense that as we drive and as we push hard to get delivery happening, we do not always go at the same pace as we ought to with our clients, and sometimes we feel there's a need for more accountability in order to kick off that enthusiasm at the same pace as such. I think that then concludes the part, the 150 million invested by the IDT, and the next slide introduces the 2.7 billion program funded by National Treasury. We're indicating there that in February 2007, in conjunction with DPW, National Department, we compiled a business case for elimination of mud schools. And in partnership with DPW, we spearheaded that this program be one of the programs that are pursued as part of priorities for the country. In March, April, the program was identified as a presidential lead project. In the 2008 State of the Nation address, the program was designated as part of the APEX priorities. Much to our delight, because we felt that the 150 million seed funding had actually generated quite impressive returns from an IDT perspective. I think we were very excited when national government allocated the resources to this project. The 2008 budget allocated 2.7 billion over a 3-year medium term expenditure framework. In March 2008, the joint DPW and DOE MINMEC designated IDT as the preferred implementing agent. I think we use the word preferred, you know, because it has a peculiar meaning. Because provinces actually appoint implementing agents. Their first call is obviously public works. In terms of what was perceived at this joint meeting, was that public works and DOE provincially would then appoint IDT as the implementing agents and we enter into a tripartite agreement. We're indicating elsewhere in our report that yes, in 5 provinces we have since been appointed as the implementing agent, but not in all provinces. The provincial DOEs, particularly as the education department, remain accountable for the department. So this vote is allocated to them, and with public works in partnership with us, we then take the process forward. The next slide, we're indicating, Chair, that 5 provinces we've been appointed for this financial year, 2008 and 2009, for a budget amounting 158 million. 58 projects have been identified by 5 provinces, and this is the list that my CEO was indicating that we shall be circulating. We actually have got the soft copy, and shall forward the copy to the secretariat, the list of the schools under the 2.7 billion. 4 projects are currently under construction. 2 of the appointed contractors are female again in this project. The risk that we carry in this program, Chair, is that sometimes it becomes very difficult to differentiate between the word designated as a preferred implementing agent and whether we are actually appointed. If a client department appoints us in November, already we're running a risk that such funds would not be spent by the financial year, and already it becomes blurred into who's responsible for lack of delivery or for lack of spending for that financial year. But this is the risk that we run as an organization. We're indicating on the next slide in terms of our planning methodology, and just to give a feel as to of with regards to the provinces where we've been appointed, where are the projects. You can see that the bulk of them are at the planning stage, indicating that agreements to be appointed are fairly recent in terms of those projects. Already we are 6 months down the year, so already there are question marks or there are red lights with regards to spending within the current financial year relating to the allocated for this year. The next slide indicates challenges in this program. As you would see, they are not very different from the challenges we experienced on the 150 million program scope change. I think in certain provinces, the scope would change even 3, 4, 5 times, which unfortunately becomes a restraint in the speed in which the progress could continue. The next slide outlines where we anticipate we shall be by year end, where we've been appointed. I think we believe that by year end we shall have finished 4 schools in KZN, 14 in Mpumalanga, and the remainder shall be on the implementation stages. Chairperson, thank you. We're very keen to respond to any clarity questions the committee may have. Thank you. Yeah, the other document Adam has soft copy. We have to the one with the list. We will be leaving with the secretariat with the actual list of schools.
Thank you very much.
much. Let me open up this question. Honorable members, can I have an education clarification from Honorable Khadai, followed by Honorable Melissa, followed by Honorable Maduma, in that order, please?
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we'd like to appreciate the report that is coming timely as this, so that when we go back to the constituents, at least we have something at hand with which to speak about. But I appreciate this. I can see that there are a lot of challenges here. The first challenge I would like to know is how many math schools are we having, so that we can see whether the pace at which we are delivering, when are we going to eliminate them? That's what I wanted to go to. Because I can see that the seed funding has done a lot. And I know that if you look around the country, it has just made the small tent around them. So how many math schools are we having? Will this budget from the treasurer, that 2.7 billion, be able to eliminate them by 2011? Because sometimes it's embarrassing to a person that 14 years down the democracy lane, you go to push back, find that the school is almost in pieces. And then whereas we are having the people's government, that's the third part. And then the other part is the issue of, I see that there was a meeting between the MINMEC in particular, but I see that the people of the province have signed an agreement, applied. What has happened to the other four? What is the problem? Why are they not signing up? We have got ready. If we're going to have delays after an agreement or a meeting was held and an agreement made, they're not going to have a serious problem. And then you can see again, the third issue will be the issue of this budget is huge. 150 million already expended, and then 2.7 billion. We know very well that Chairperson, as the Committee on Public Works, we've got a challenge with the engineering students which are in various teacher institutions, whereby they have a serious problem in gaining experiential training in particular. Will the IDT be able to cooperate with this institution? Let's say if you are building these schools, because it's already in the plan, we know that in the Eastern Cape so many schools will be built. So are they going to interact with the universities of technology around that area so that if there are students who need experiential training, in particular around civil engineering, so that they can be adopted, so that they can be part of that? Because with the challenge we have seen is that we're not producing enough engineers, and a part of that is that we don't have enough projects on the ground. But you can see here's a formal program with a budget and then and a projection. By this time, we have done that. Will they be able to interact with this group so that the students who need that support can be adopted and be part of that so that they can be helped? Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable
Zubika.
Thank you, Chair. My question has been partly asked, but I want to take it further to ask both the Department of Public Works and IDT. I just want to check if there is a linkage between these programs and the National Youth Service Program. I think that will also respond to the question that has been targeted.
Thank you. Honorable
I also want to echo the sentiments of my colleagues in terms of welcoming the report. In slide page 3, they speak about 1,500 jobs to be created. I just wanted to establish as to whether in these jobs that will be created, they will take into account the challenge of disabled people who must also be able to benefit from such job creation opportunities. So if you move around, you find that disabled people are always complaining that the government is not taking care of them. They have mentioned the question of women and youth, but I think disabled people, they should also be able to benefit in that 1,500 job opportunities. mentioned the challenge of the planning cycle, which is always a problem I just wanted to check as to whether perhaps they are not in a position to develop a planning methodology that they can present it to the planning department, which begins to address the challenge of fiscal dumping. Yeah, I think those are the questions, some of the questions you have asked. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a few questions. I just want to know, what is the reason behind you splitting the amount? Because I thought that the IDT funded amount together with the National Treasury should be treated as one fund. But just to check. And then also, like, with regard to the key challenges that are highlighted, have you been able to resolve them, or you are still, or you are just highlighting that those were the delays? And then also to find out, like, if you have a project saying you want to do one school, how long does it take to do a school? Because it seems to be a long procedure. I know that there might be differences in terms of the departmental approach and all the challenges you have mentioned. But if the contractor had been identified at the onset, I would suppose that maybe, like, you would be able to sort of, like, tighten up all the loopholes that are there. Could you just pick up through that?
Thank you. Is there any other questions or comments from the members?
Yeah, on page 3, the training of entrepreneurs, technical and business management, and local workers. I see here the current target is 400. Is it 400 for the 8 provinces or what? And is there a further breakdown, like showing you targeting to train so many youth, so many women? Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just address a few issues. Actually, I should say this before I ask this issue. We were in Pumalang, actually, where the People's Parliament, if you might want to have interest. I'm saying we were in Mpumalanga last week, in the people for the listed project, EPWP project, the protocol. The findings we had, one, there's no clear contract that we approve from our side. So some of the projects were not going to reach target date due to different factors that were not put during initial stage of planning. Because when you're planning a project, you should be able to plan for any disaster that might occur. So for instance, if the camp will go dry for salary, you should have the provision to accommodate that. Some of them did not understand that there's a demand of demand in the country, that's why there will be delays in delivery of some of the products they need. So there's nobody who do economic scanning to understand the environment they operate. So mostly they operate from a small scale in terms of understanding economic trends. And there was no clear coordination between the national, provincial, and municipality coordinators. So you find a situation where there is a project, building of classroom in a particular school, in a particular area, counselors residing there that don't know what is happening. So there's no local coordinator from the council that can monitor the project on a daily basis and feed in to the regional office of department. You find a situation where the coordinator actually comes from that land. The person who explains the project to us comes from that land. And that person, the last time he or she was there, was more than 6-8 months ago. So some of the things that you're picking up, the person is not conscious with the location. So those are the dynamics raised in what you created as challenges. Because if there's no coordination and there's no project management, it will not reach the timeline and going to this, because they don't know what it means in relation to the business. If you didn't spend your allocated budget, that in itself gives a qualification in terms of quality standards. So that's what. So we picked up those issues. Some projects actually were started but were abandoned, basically the diet and natural gas. So there are a number of issues, but the issues that I want to relate to in relation to this. That's why we needed a list of all the mass schools, because we want to have an idea how far from the onset, the day when we said we'll eradicate mass schools, because there should have been a target of date from the beginning. That if we say we want to eradicate mass schools, it's not just a statement. We say we start from this day until, if you say 2011, and then we evaluate in between how far are we. That's why there would be a question that says, out of the 7.4, how far are we? How much have we spent? And what is the red line? Because they are there. I can pick them up in relation to which provinces. Because if so many provinces are still at a planning stage, it means we're not going to spend all the money. And that's one challenge. We need to find a way. Maybe when we come back, we need to find a way of putting how are we going to deal with that. And I was also looking at another training of contractors. We talk about contractor development. Who's responsible for that? Because we realize that many contractors who are on site, they've never taken into account the BEE principles. They're not training. There's nothing that you have just asked. Those two young MPs who just spoke about leadership, they are not there. Those people are ordinary laborers. There's no national incident program who were asking that. It's not there. So they don't adhere to the principles of employing a certain number of women. Those who were there, they were actually cleaning the windows for the finished school and putting water to keep the you actually did not find a single woman in all those projects we visited who was doing bricklaying. Except that we had one woman who was a coordinator. So there is also the challenge of adhering to the principle of academic group. We saw very few young people, they are there, but they... So, it's one thing that members would have an interest in. And I realized that there's no relationship between the client department and our department, who's the department that initiated the project. It is an EPWP project. If DOE is the implementing client department, there's no relationship at all. There's no feedback mechanisms that are being put in place as to how are they going to talk to one another to also deal with the challenges that are there. And in we realize that the challenges, well, I don't know, because our department will always say, no, it's DOE. So we want to know where are they come so that we can be supposed to we don't know where the COE is. But ours is an advisory role. We don't implement it. But what is our role to make sure that what we have initiated is implemented? Because I believe that's where there should be what you call for stakeholder forum, where people discuss this project. On a quarterly basis, not every day, or once in 3 months, they should participate. It's not to say that. And now these challenges, I thought that the first thing is having problems to finalize contracts. Really, can we stop a project really stop because we can't finalize contracts? It means there's an issue of process. We're dealing with issues of process, and they are creating problems on service delivery. And I think we'll have to meet the NDC. We should make it our point to understand why cannot they finalize contracts? Really, I mean, from technical, we cannot be bogged down by that. Where there is a technical problem, like in the case of the Eastern case, it's something else. I think that's where you come into. because there are skills really that you can't use. And also, I realize that the priesthood is also a slow response in approval of planning and design. I mean, a school is the same design. So to approve a plan that is almost the same, I mean, we don't have a school with a different feature from the rest of the school. There's very standard features that are expected in the school, to have toilets, to have lights, to have ventilators, to have this, and why would there be a slow process of approving that design? Are we not using this? I mean, someone needs to maybe tell us how it is done in this case. And one other issue that I picked up, I want to know which are the struggles that are not designating you as a sort of implementing agent. Because that's where I consider the issue that we're going to have problems in those deployments. Because we cannot create agencies that we can't use. And well, we're not saying we should just have IT doing all the work of government, but I'm interested to know which problems. And I do not believe that Mpumalanga will reach its target. And I'm wondering why they use it so much, like more than anybody else. So we are really compared to KZN and okay. Why I've been asking this question, why are we protesting in Mpumalanga? Why when we also know that they're not so good at reporting for fast.
President, thank you. There are a number of questions raised by the committee. I will respond to some, and the team will respond to some. With regard to the number of MAD schools, the research done by the Department of Education, which was not only looking at MAD schools, they were looking at all inappropriate structures, whether they got tin or wood. There was about 8,000 schools inappropriate countrywide. The 2.7 billion will certainly not eradicate the total number of those schools. I think it will create a serious debt, the lack of a better warrant. The 2.7 is for the medium term expenditure framework, the 3 years. The indication that was done was that there are bigger resources than 2.7 required to deal with the talent at hand. of the provinces that we have been appointed on the, you know, the national program. We've been appointed on five of them. Those exclude Northwest, but we are in negotiations with Northwest, and then you will see that we've put it on planning on the presentation, because there's an indication of their intention to appoint us to run with the program. And they have had challenges about confirming what has been allocated to them and then what has not been allocated to them. There was also a glitch in communication between Treasury and the various provinces where funds were availed, but the advising communication was not forwarded in time, and certain provinces simply allocated those funds on other things. The other province is Gauteng. Again, Gauteng have indicated that you know, the Department of Public Works will be undertaking the project, but our engagement with the department has already resulted in them indicating that they may want some help in certain areas, but they were adamant that their capacity is such that they can run with it. And in those areas where they need our support, they would indicate so. The other province is Northern Cape. No resources were allocated to the Northern Cape for this current financial year. And the other is Free State. In Free State, only 1.8 million was allocated, and the province has indicated that they would rather use that for planning for next year, seeing that it would not be enough for a full school. The other question related to experiences or the lessons that we raised, whether those lessons are things that we've resolved. I think those lessons are inherent in our kind of work, and I think they are resolving is a continuous process. Part of what we're doing currently is to take active steps in assisting the department, because we realize that this whole question of a planning cycle will not go away. And whether the client departments and public works would have been responsible for carrying certain functions, if there are capacity challenges to take care of those functions, unless we invest resources. I think part of our recent decision was that we must actually hire staff and place them, staff who are good in process engineering, and place them in departments in order to enable those processes to go. On the jobs, whether there's a consideration of disabled, yes, there is a consideration of disabled. We are not always lucky given the nature of the jobs, because many of these jobs are hard labor jobs. In certain instances, the disabled would struggle to get to those types of jobs. But from an awareness point of view, from a positioning point of view of an organization, I think we are always aware about pursuing the disabled. In fact, in our scorecard, we do have you know, the disabled as a target group to be pursued. Why split the IDT program for the National Allocated Program? I think it's because there are peculiar facts to report about in the national program. I think one key peculiar fact is the fact that IDT depends on being appointed. If we were to combine them, we possibly would mislead this committee by giving an impression that we can actually grab this initiative, run with it at whatever speed we can. Yes, we can do that where we avail the resources, but where the resources are coming from the national department, there is a limitation with regard to the pace within which we can move. Hence the initiatives which begin to assist the department in the upstream chain. The other question was, I think, how long does it take to do a school? If I were to use two analogy, a 5-classroom school and say a 14-classroom school, I would say it would take an average of 7 to 8 months to do a 5-classroom school, including the entire planning processes. The actual construction would be about 4 months. So the construction is not the one that takes time. But what takes time, the other 3 to 4 months at most, would be both the project closure processes as well as the planning processes. In the planning process, I'm including both procurement and the process between us and the department. To do a, say, 14 to 15 to, say, 18 classroom would take between 12 months and 16 months. Again, the actual construction time is hardly an issue, but the real issue becomes the planning process. We consider our work to be premised on expediting exactly those planning cycles. Where we are now, we've achieved, I want to submit a lot of speed in driving those processes from within. I think the next step we need to engage upon is to say, what do we do, as I indicated, about the upstream, the upstream value chain processes. I think if I were to make an example, incidences of land availability, those things ordinarily would be sorted out by the client, but if we do not get involved, nothing will move at the required speed, you know, unless we are set to where we can. The list of schools, I think Adam will be organizing. I hope before the end of this meeting, he will check the email and then try and then print the school that we're talking about. I think I'm going through the list here, sir.
Maybe one of the honorable members, Chairperson, I could be adding on the farm, and mainly the engineering students that requires internship. I must say that as an organization, we're very much interested in doing just that. The committee will be aware that we were participating in the JIPSA program as an implementing agent. So most of the statistics that have been reported on JIPSA has actually been the work that we have been doing. Mostly we have been sending those technical graduates abroad, but we're also now looking favorably into placing them within not only our institutions but other institutions in South Africa. As an organization, in terms of the programs that we have, I think at the moment we've got about 10 interns in the organization, 20 interns in the organization, but we intend growing that number or increasing that number. So it is something that we really prioritize in as part of our implementation processes. The linkage with the National Youth Service, I think we also have to acknowledge upfront that we do need to focus more on the National Youth Service. What we have been focusing mainly on has been the women targeting, which of course does not discriminate whether you are younger or older, but it is just women in totality. And I think we are gearing our resources now to also look into the youth in particular. I must also say that when you look into the CIDP and the gradings that we have, we don't really have much youth. So it is important to also acknowledge that from a quality point of view, we're also obliged to make sure that the contractors that we use are actually contractors that have been accredited. I'm sure my colleague will also talk more on the contractor development program. Chairperson, you are very right to say that there isn't really
a working contractor development program. I'm qualifying it working because honorable members are aware that we've been talking about a contractor development program which the national department has been driving. We have sort of tapped into some of the principles of that program, but we have developed our own contractor development program, and we've also partnered with institutions like the NEF to make sure that from a funding point of view, we can be able to provide source funding for those groupings. I also want to talk to the people with disabilities. I think there's one challenge which possibly is also legislated in terms of the disclosure. It's not very easy to identify who is disabled because according to the movements around disability, the declaration itself becomes discriminatory. So it becomes difficult to really pick up if there's an application which one is coming from a disabled person. If you can look into even the statistics from an employment point of view, that declaration, the people with disabilities are saying we should not be required to declare because that on its own is discriminatory. But at the same time, how do you then target? So I'm saying there's a bigger question just in terms of the legislation and some of the principles that underlines that we might need, particularly from the House and from yourselves, honourable members, to look into what is the best mechanism for identifying people with disabilities. Otherwise, institutions might be seen not to be focusing or prioritising that when actually there are technical challenges just on the element of identification. The other element, Chairperson, that you spoke to was the project that you visited in Mpumalanga. I just want to agree with you, Chair. One of the challenges that we encountered, particularly with female contractors, when they abandon a project, quite often you find that the compelling factors are beyond their control, like, for instance, the increase in prices. Like, for instance, that analysis, that economic analysis, whether there is a shortage of cement and how do they then source cement mainly. So instead of coming up and saying these are the challenges or these are challenges beyond us, they think I have faith and then they abandon projects. Part of what we are doing in our contractor program is actually to be able to assist from the level when people get the contract until when they exit. We're even saying we would want those people that are benefiting from the program to be with us for a period of 3 years, which means you grow them until such time that you can confidently say they're exiting, providing that information of researching, that economic analysis, so that at least you begin not to personalize some of the failures, which I might not necessarily be personal failures, but failures of the market. So you are very true, Chairperson, in terms of your identification. But that is one of the critical challenges that we need to all address and provide for those constituencies that we are targeting. The issue of local coordinator, again, you are very right on that. The Chair would recall that in terms of the CDWs, one of the roles of the CDWs was actually to assist in that coordination so that all the projects that come either from national or provincial to local, there has to be some seamlessness in terms of that coordination. And you would agree with me, Chairperson, that it is not in all regions or provinces where you find that there is an active CDW contingency. But with the projects that we specifically work on, for us it is important that we work with all the tiers of government, Chairperson, and my colleagues can be specific in terms of where we have not been able to and where we have been able to. I wouldn't say we have been able to cover all those elements throughout all our projects, but that is one of our critical principles that we apply. I think you're also right in terms of the adherence to the EPWP principles. Do we really adhere to those principles? And I think continuously we need to be reminding ourselves, not only us as IDT, but all of us in South Africa. The decision that we took was that we're not going to have an EPWP project. Because when we started with an EPWP project, there's an assumption that it is only those projects ring-fenced for EPWP that should apply the principles of the EPWP. We then took a decision to say all our projects should have the EPWP principles. So when you look into our measurements, you find that we actually look into whether we are adhering to those projects.
I'm sure as I listen to honorable members, the challenge would be for us to evaluate, have we really adhered and has it made a difference? And I think we've not reached that stage, but I think the challenge I'm hearing here is that we might need at some stage to do an evaluation of whether we've been able to appropriately implement those principles. The relationship between the client's department, the National Department of Public Works and IDT, I think, Chairperson, you are very right that at some stage we do need that tripartite. The Honourable Minister, I think, has done quite well in as far as bringing us together with DOE and the IDT and the department to look into those relationships. We're even looking into some protocols of engagement so that at least there would be uniformity in the way in which we are relating. We have not completed that process, Chairperson, but I'm hoping that we will be able to finish that. The issue of flu states, I would request my colleagues to specifically respond to that as they are day-to-day engaged with some of those challenges. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, to conclude the response, flu state, as I indicated earlier on, they just happen to have a very, very small allocation for this current financial year, and which they have indicated their intention to appoint the IDT in the next allocation, but they have resolved to dedicate that allocation in planning for the next financial year. I think one other comment to add on the contractor development program is that we are on the verge of signing an agreement with NEF, as the CEO was indicating, which we're very much excited about, because in terms of our contractor development program, it had two pillars. This one brings the third pillar. It had the technical capacitation of the contractor, and it also had the business side capacitation of the contractor. But the funding side had always been an issue. The agreement that we will conclude with NEF provide access for funding for all emerging contractors that would have been given work by the IDT, and then we continue to provide them with the necessary support for a period of time. So it's something that we are pretty much excited about. Thank you, sir.
Maybe just to add, you asked Mpumalanga why such an allocation in Mpumalanga. I guess it's an indication of the backlog. There is a huge backlog in Mpumalanga. And I think because of that, and also the undesirable structure, because of the farms, there are quite a number of farms around there. I can only say that was the contributing factor. It's an indication of the backlog.
There's no qualification at all why giving Mpumalanga that. I mean, if I was not traveling to all the stories, I was going to agree. We go to the far flag areas. There are worse schools than others. I mean, if Mpumalanga is going to actually have habitual structures. I mean, we've been traveling the whole of Bhopal, so we never saw a teacher to be ashamed of now. Okay. Even the madam, they said they're saying something as to a Nkuku, and I think it was a two big house. This man calls this a Nkuku. And which are the problems that are not used to hear that they're going to be implemented? And how outside is that from the current budget?
I think even those there seems to be the light at the end of the tunnel. I think the first one is Northern Cape, which in this instance had no allocation for this current financial year. So we engage with them with regard to the next financial year. The second was Free State, which I indicated. They said their allocation was simply too small. They would rather invest it in planning. The third is Gauteng, which indicated that they had the capacity to run the program. However, in areas where they would need our support, they would Kalahari indicates so, and the fault is Northwest, and we are currently in engagement with Northwest. So we're not allowing a situation where there is a position or a stand. I think we keep on engaging them to break and then have a way forward. So those are the four. Yeah, only the form.
And is there any valuation principle that we put in place so that people shouldn't get attacked? So if there isn't, do you think that is an element that creates it? In terms of dealing with valuation, there's no guarantee.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, of the 150 million we've spent, about 22 million to date. The intention is to spend the entire 150 million by end of the year, because we are now in construction, the period which would use the resources. We've used about 22 million of that now. The intention is to spend the entire 150 by end of the year.
What about the third question? She asked the question, why is there two funds here? Why is the thing is there? And the two comma seven. And I mean something the 2.7. If you didn't use the fifth fund,
I would like to get the committee to what's the right word? Call it not to be concerned on the 150 million, because I think we've got every assurance that we will spend the money given where the program is. Where the challenge is,
I don't agree. You cannot give us a document that shows the stages of implementation. Because the most of the projects are not 80%, most of them are 15, 25, 45. And you can't say when you've only spent 20. You will be able to spend the remaining 130 when we're left with only 6 months. You can't do that. Let me tell you about the
I understand your anxiety. I think the manner in which the program works is you've got the initiation stage, you've got the planning stage, and on those stages there's very little spending. Where you spend is actually on the implementation, and I think that's where our projects are. That's why we seem to have this optimism. However, indeed, we do have a challenge on the 2.7 billion spent. What has been allocated to us in terms of the where we've been appointed is 158 million. This relates to the provinces that have appointed us. And the challenge, as you would see on the presentation, is that many of those are still at planning and initiation stage. And therefore, we do anticipate a challenge with regard to that spending. It would be very difficult for us now to say how much of that 158 million would have been spent by the year end. But I think we do anticipate that there will be challenges with regard to the spending of that. The 2.7 is an allocation over a 3-year period. In this current financial year, only 400 million was allocated nationally to provinces. Of that 400 million, only 158 million has been allocated to IDT through appointment by the various provinces. And I think that's where I'm expressing a concern with regard to that. But 400 million was targeted for this year.
I don't want to make it pessimistic. There is a problem. If you are allocated 400 million for a particular financial year and you go over the MTF budget cycle, and you only spent, 20 million is about 20%. And we're at a certain
not say it won't.
Yeah, it won't.
I'm separating them. I'm separating them. There's the IT funded one, which is 150. That's the one where we say we spent 22 million, we will have spent the resources by the end of the year because we've got access and control over those resources. So we're not expressing, we're not raising a red flag with regard to those. But when we look at the 150 million, which is 158 of the 400 million, we're expressing a serious concern. We're concurring with your concerns 100%. And we're also saying of that 400 million, we've got control only on 158 million. And we're saying contracts with those clients are being concluded, some of them now. So already there are big problems because we are in plenty of stages.
But what is the motive? You see, I have been saying this on many occasions. We don't look at the capacity level to implement. If a contractor is there, they will comply, they will modify. The implementation part of it, who wants to invest? Because if the spending base is at this pace, it's already delivered back. Out of the 158, it's not going to be spent on the targeted supply. What is the challenge? How are we potentially coming? Who is responsible for intervention? Because it's going to create problems. It's another issue. And I don't want to live with an end when we say, what is not spent? We need to act now to make sure that we deal with the issues that are. And I made it up that if the system can tell us that they cannot spend money because they don't agree in relation to conditions of contract. Really, can the project stop and now they're gonna use their money on planning all of it. Really? Are we convinced that what we need to use millions and millions of money just for design? When we've got government departments of good capacity, that's why I ask you, which are these departments that does not want to designate IDT? And you see, that these are all the problems that are actually any challenge, because they want to choose which contractor must come and implement. And that thing, they're taking all the money that they are giving, much as little, they're not going to build in a single bathroom or a single toilet. They're going to use it for design and integrate it and tell it, do you know what it means? See, that money is not going to go to the people that need the children. We're going to have expensive consultants who are going to design plans. And I'm saying, are we not using the same plan for the other school? There's something wrong there. And that's what we need to do. It might not be your problem. It might be a problem of the client department and our department who needs to monitor. That if we give you a grant, you can't tell us how we're going to use it. It's a grant. But it's something that we can deal with, I think. It needs some discussion. Okay, let me give you one of the numbers. What is the name of the management of the
Thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief and we'll get time. There has been an alarming situation in terms of labor demand from the client department. Now, I'm just checking in terms of the projects that you are involved as to whether you are not encountering such problems in terms of the complaints from the contractors, because the blame is pushed to the contractor, and then the contractor is in the court phase in terms of interacting with his or her workers, would by and large accuse him or her that it is irresponsible business and like that. Yet either the IDT, if it's your case, or the client department, if it is through the Department of Public Works. So I'm just checking if you do encounter such problems, if there are any, how do you at least try to overcome such obstacles so that you've got a smooth running of the construction? Thank you.
Thank you.
Come the chairperson, I can see that the problem is deeper. Yes. What we have in front of us is very big. Because I understand that in the 160 million, which is coming from the budget of the IDT, they'll be able to complete that because it is totally under their control. But the largest dent which is going to eradicate this mass school is coming from Treasury, of which is allocated 2.7 billion in the next 3 years. But when you look, this thing was done last year, 2007. It is 2008-2009 now. But if you look at the project, out of that 158 million, which is being put to the IDT, only four projects are in implementation stage. Only four. So it means that out of the 58 projects, we've got 54 projects which are not at it. That one is a serious problem. That one is a serious problem. But I can see that the problem might come from this tripartite type of the agreement which we are supposed to be in place in the first instance. That one between Public Works, Department of Education, and the Provincial Department. So, did they alert the Minister of Public Works about this huge problem which is in front of you now? And what did he do with her counterpart in order to resolve that? Because really, you cannot have an air phrase when you go next year that we could not implement so many projects. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
When one of the very strategic issues we should be discussing is, should the Department of Education be given the responsibility for infrastructure? Because Chairperson, as my colleague has said earlier, where we interact directly with the department, you find that even the technical understanding of infrastructure is not there. So there are a lot of delays of not getting to concluding programs because there is no capacity for that. But where you find that we're working through the Department of Public Works, at least there is technical capacity where the planning can go, they can approve the drawings and the plan. It becomes easier. And I think the bigger problem or the bigger challenge is for honourable members to discuss that discourse of not allowing the Department of Education to really focus on education, not on infrastructure, because it never has the capacity to focus on that. Thanks for saying it, because we don't intend it to be policy, but if policy is not working to our benefit, we need to review. So what is before us? Well, they don't have the discussion. We do. We can understand that in the full employee of our department, the business. And I think we can, even if we might not have all the results, we can solve them out better. And the fact that that politics is bring the scope altogether. They are to school of the trouble, I think that's what we need to do. We cannot be trying to plan.
There was a question there about contractors, falling into problems with payments. I think we particularly doing exceptionally well in payments. In fact, that's part of our selling point, or part of our leading function. We pay anything between 4 and 16 days. If there has been no claims, or if a payment has to happen, you know, very, very urgently, it can actually happen even in 4 days. But on the average basis, I would say we pay between 10 days. So we're doing very well on that. In fact, in certain provinces, I think the Eastern Cape is an example in question, where the Department of Education was even considering pursuing a different route. And I think contractors themselves were saying, our lives changed when the IDT took over the program implementation. We were faced with letters of demand and those to change. But since the consistency in the payment system, we've been able to build solid business. So I think we're doing particularly well in that regard.
Well, no, you can speak until no more than what you want. Okay. Then I'm going to give you, if I'm just holding with you, I take two few questions. Some of them are not necessarily the purview of IDT to us in Ellis. It's issues that we need to raise
political
and to deal. So if you want to raise them for the sake of the frustration we experience, it's fine, but they're not going to give us the answers we want. We just wanted to have their own project, because they don't even decide where a project should go. They are just told that you're going. That's why I'm saying, I've got nothing against that beautiful province that grows banana from the trees. There's so many provinces that need to be good. So, if we need to pick up a little fight, member for members is not with the IDT. It's with our department at the OVC. Unless if there's a pending many questions that we can take. Yeah, Nicole, is that a little threat?
Yeah. Can I go ahead? Thank you. Well, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Shepherdson. Well, in their presentation, they gave us a total of 8,000 mud schools. Now, that means the whole of South Africa. Now, I would want to know as to whether if they, give us the total figure of each province as to how many mud schools does it have, so that we'll be able to know exactly what we are.
It's appropriate, because some are not necessarily mud schools. It might be
Mkuku.
This is
a
total of factors that are not
appropriate. Okay. We would want to have those figures.
Yes. I think you covered me with that comment. I was wrong. Okay, thank you. Let's take lunch. I don't know what I'm a medical with tonight. I can only close by saying that we feel very encouraged each time we come to present to the committee. Encouraged and challenged. Definitely now we're going to be looking at something different, how to approach our work. But it has always ended very interesting, and we'd like to appreciate and thank honorable members for the engagement. Thank you. We hope and wish that we will sit together and work on things that we need to work on. Yes, the
veteran of
the one meeting
said that they were going. They are going. They want to leave Parliament.
Provided we keep on them.
Yeah.
So I hope we get coffee tomorrow.
Thank you.